Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm ready to call him the greatest Blazer of all time.
It's the Blazer Fan Insider with Jason Quick. Brought to you on The Fan by the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app. Download it today and turn on notifications to get special offers and up-to-date in-game action.
All right, real quick, for those of you who missed our first hour, we talked about the new Pac-12 commissioner in depth. We played some clips of his press conference, and I do want to repurpose one. For those of you that missed it, we were talking about his resume and his credentials and what he's done in the past. There's a pretty good, it's only about a two-minute clip that we played earlier of him talking about the things that he's done in this past that has led him to this job. We're going to replay that in our next segment. Worth a listen because it's pretty impressive. So we'll do that coming up next if you missed it. Hey, JC babes.
What's going on?
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. New piece out today, it looks like, on The Athletic there.
Yeah. I can't believe this turnaround. I really can't. And I think it's for real. I think they're playing really good basketball.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to, what was that, they had a 5 or 6 game losing streak, and, you know, Stotts is as good as gone, and, you know, everyone was burying them. And now all of a sudden you look at it, and I know they've gotten some benefit of playing teams without players, but you look at the defensive metrics over the last 10 games, the offensive rating, I think, like, net, they're, like, what, 5th or 6th in the NBA, longest win streak? No one saw this coming.
Yeah, and sure, they have gotten some breaks, but they're beating people. I mean, these aren't lucky wins. They handled Utah last night. They led the entire second half, and they whacked some pretty good teams here, which used to be what happened to them. So I know that there's still a lot of doubt out there, and I think it's also important that what has happened here in the last 2 or 3 weeks doesn't change the overall lens in which we should all view this season, which is they need to advance. You know, making the playoffs should not be celebrated by this franchise any longer. You know, celebrating a playoff appearance is for the Memphises, Atlantas, the Knicks. This organization needs to start winning in the playoffs. And that was kind of the missive at the beginning of this season, and I don't think we should lose sight of that. There's been a lot of money invested into this club. These are veteran, proven players. They need to advance. And, you know, the good thing about this, though, is that 3 weeks ago, you're right, Suk, this season looked like it was going down the toilet, and it looked like massive changes were coming to this team in the offseason, from the front office to the coaching staff, to the roster. But now they righted themselves and they look legitimate. I think they look legitimate. They're going to be up against it in the playoffs because they're going to be an underdog. They're going to be a lower seed no matter who they play. But the way they're playing now, as Damian Lillard said today in my article, the way they're playing now translates. It translates whether you're playing at home or on the road. playoffs or regular season. And he hasn't had this feel since the second or third year that he was in the NBA when the Blazers were winning 51 and 54 games, where they knew coming into the arena that they had a pretty good chance to win, and that no matter how good or how bad they played, they felt like they were going to pull it out. And that's a special feeling, because I remember talking to Damon Stoudemire back in the day when the Blazers were the best in the West. And he said they would get off that bus and they knew that they were going to kick the other team's butt. They just knew they were more talented. And that's a powerful thing when you take the court with that kind of attitude and that kind of confidence. And I think it really shows right now when you watch this team, you can see how much they believe in themselves and how well they're playing with each other. So I think it's been really encouraging, but the proof in the pudding is going to be next week.
This is Jason Quick, our Blazers insider, with us here on The Fan, courtesy of the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app. Just got word DeAndre Ayton is out tonight for Phoenix, so another break for Portland.
I don't think they've played one. I mean, look, I take nothing away from them. They have been tremendous, but it is uncanny that I don't think they've played one of these like elite teams that has had a full complement during this stretch.
I think what's interesting to me, Jason, about this is it wasn't that they just were playing bad. They looked disinterested. They looked fragmented. They looked defeated. And so I guess my question is, how did they turn this around? Because they've done this before. As a matter of fact, this is kind of their mojo when they get healthy late in the season. They've always had late season spurts, but this one looked different. How did they do it?
I think it's been a lot of different things, but if I could boil it down to three things, one, Damian Lillard, just started playing better. You know, he did a really big thing and looked at himself and said, I'm not playing well enough. I need to step this up, and I need to step it up on the defensive end. And as I've said on this show many times before, I think the attitude and his aura is really contagious for this team. They look up to him so much. And when they saw that he was frustrated and hurting and not playing well, it kind of seeped into their whole persona. And I think it really affected the team. But he took a look at himself. I wrote an article last week, too, about his trainer really giving him some honest feedback and saying, you know, he sends him game film after every game. And there was a while there in April where every game film was titled NGE, not good enough. You were not good enough in this game, Dame. And I think stars need that. They need someone who's going to tell it like it is, because we've seen so many times stars start going, oh, it's the coach's fault. Oh, it's my supporting cast's fault. And they start trying to place the blame elsewhere. And Dame didn't do that. And he looked at himself and said, I haven't been good enough. I need to be better. And so I think it started there. And then also, Yusuf Nurkic has been huge for this team. I think it took a while for him to kind of get his legs, get his rhythm, and for him to kind of branch his game. We've seen his passing kind of really open up the offense. But as we all know, the offense isn't the problem. It was the defense, and he has been remarkable. Since he has joined the starting lineup, which is now 26 games, they are 16th in defense. And, you know, for the season, they're 29th. So that's a pretty big improvement. So you pair the 16th best defense, which is middle of the pack, with the number one offense during that span, and you have a pretty decent team. And then third, I think Terry Stotts shortening the rotation to 8 players has really helped the roster. They go to the arena, they know if they're going to play, they know how long they're going to play, and they know who they're going to play with. And for a while there, it was a crapshoot. You know, guys would play one game, they wouldn't play in the next game. He would try different combinations. So to Stotts' credit, he said, I'm going to go with just 8 guys, 5 starters, Carmelo, Cantor, and Anfernee, and those are going to be the guys who play. And I think that has really helped. But it all starts with the defense. And it started with Dame's addition to it, and Nurkic kind of coming into his own finally. You know, it took him a while, probably longer than everybody wanted, but he has really been good on the defensive end.
And how is Dame health-wise? Because, you know, we mentioned with Ayton being out that a lot of the NBA right now is nursing something, and it feels like Portland, who's had their fair share of injuries, is just getting healthy at the right time and are maybe peaking at the right time. And I know Dame was kind of being held together by duct tape for a while there. How is his health?
I still think there's some nagging things. He's got an ankle. He's got a knee thing. And then I still think his oblique kind of stomach area, he falls on balls a lot, if you notice. And that has been nagging him throughout the years, actually. And so I still think that's nagging him. But it was interesting last week. He mentioned, too, that it wasn't just the physical aspect. He has a lot on his mind. And, you know, I wrote earlier in the year about all the deaths that he's and his family has endured in the past 18 months. And he kind of alluded that there's even more stuff going on. And I wasn't able, because of Zoom, just to really pry into that. But I get the sense that being a daddy to three kids now, having all this family here, and just the grind of the COVID season, you know, these guys, there is no off day. They get tested every morning. So I think there's a lot on his mind too, or there was a lot on his mind weighing him down. And I think he's found a way to kind of compartmentalize all that and kind of focus at this crucial time in the season.
So, we know they're playing better. It looks like they're going to avoid the play-in game, maybe end up being the five. So just, you know, point blank, the way they're playing right now, do you think this team gets out of the first round?
Well, best case scenario for them would be to finish five and to play Denver in the 4-5 matchup.
Yeah.
Denver, we know, is banged up. They don't have Jamal Murray. This team has beaten them before in a series, and I'm not sure if Denver is better. I think they might be worse than that team that they faced in the semifinals in 2019. You know, they don't have Torrey Craig who tried to check Dame and CJ. They don't have Jamal Murray, who was electric at times in that series. And this time the Blazers will have Nurkic to go against Jokic. Before it was Enes Kanter. So I think the Blazers are better equipped this time against Denver, and they beat them last time. So I think if they play Denver, they have a chance of winning. If they slip to six and play the Clippers, I think that's just a brutal matchup for the Blazers, and I think the Clippers win.
Do you believe that then would change the offseason? In other words, you've got the same team. You feel good going into the playoffs, but because of matchups, you may not get out of the first round. If they just fall to the six and lose to the Clippers, does that change how they approach the offseason as opposed to getting the Nuggets and actually getting through a series?
I think with painting that with a broad brush, if they lose in the first round, I think there's major changes. And I think it starts with Stotts. But if it's like a hell of a series, seven games, they show some real grit and kind of show something, then I think that might be able to play a factor in it. This is getting real interesting, though, for Stotts, because what they're doing here, again, you know, I've been covering this team 23 years, and I was trying today to go back and think of a more dramatic turnaround in a season, this late in the season. You know, they finished strong before, but they were always kind of a good team. This team looked like it was done. I mean, flat out done. Like you said, not showing like they didn't even care. And so this has been remarkable. Is it enough to save his job? I don't know, because you're going to have to factor in the COVID season, the injuries. But still, their defense was so bad for so long. And they still had that awful April where they were just terrible. So I think all that is going to be put into the hat, examined, and I think it's going to come down to where Jody Allen and Burt Cold are on it. But again, I think the big thing that they're going to evaluate is how Stotts coaches in this postseason. Is he able to come up with a game plan that is superior to the opponent? Is he able to adjust and counterpunch to whatever the coach throws at him? That has not been one of his strengths in the postseason. So there's going to be a lot on the line.
Do you think there's obviously he's a favorite amongst the players, a player's coach. Do you think that when all this was going down and, you know, we had the Yahoo article and, you know, you wrote about it and, you know, there's a national story that he was a dead man walking. Do you think that lit a fire under someone's ass in the locker room? You know, guys, again, being disinterested. And does that bear something to watch in the playoffs that they know they're probably playing for their coach's job?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think it came down to this player pride. You know, Dame and Melo and CJ talk about that the players got together and they talked it over before that 6-game road trip. And they said, enough is enough. We need to play better. And I don't think they ever blamed the coaches to a, you know, harsh extent. I think there are some people who have issues with some aspects of the coaching, but I don't think anyone was placing the blame or pointing the finger. I think they knew that they just had to play better and they had to start on defense. So I think we've seen a much more attention to detail and much more focus from a defensive standpoint. So I think it started with the players, but I don't think it had anything to do with like win one for Terry or save Terry's job or anything like that.
What were you referring to there? Issues with aspects of coaching?
I think there have been frustrations with making adjustments and figuring out and settling on a defensive game plan. I mean, they've been kind of all over the place defensively. If you remember, you know, they started the season saying they were going to have the big play up more and trap more and be more aggressive. Well, you know, they kind of bailed on that early and then they, you know, kind of reverted back to their own, having the big play back. And, you know, there were times where Nurk just said, screw this, I'm going to go out and trap on the perimeter, and because we need to be more active and proactive. So there's been, you know, some of that with the players saying, wishing for a little more direction or a little more urgency in some regards.
All right. Well, looking here at the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app, tonight's line, now Ayton is out, but earlier when we were talking about it here on the show, the Blazers were 1-point dogs. They're now 2.5-point dogs. What do you think?
I'm going Blazers. I already put my bet in. I got 2.5 on them, I think, tonight.
Yeah.
He quicks riding the heater, now, man. Ride the heater.
Well, I wonder why that. So Ayton's out, and yet the Blazers are more of an underdog. That's interesting. Must be some big money coming in on Phoenix.
Before the show started, they were 3-point dogs.
I had them at +1 on mine.
And they've gone back down now because Ayton's out.
I had them at 2.5 early this morning.
Okay. I wonder where I saw one. Maybe that was last night then. Okay, so you've got Portland +2.5,
yes,
tonight. Yes. Love it. Any other bets out there?
I had them last night too with Utah, and they came through.
Yeah, that ended up being. Were they catching points in that one?
Yeah, two.
Yeah, because you know that was one of those where I'm like, oh boy, I don't know. I kind of felt like we were underestimating Utah even without Mitchell and
Conley,
but you watch that game. It was glaringly obvious.
They
had nobody out front to handle the ball, and Blazers' defense looked good too. I'm not taking anything away from them, but Utah needed a ball handler bad.
Yeah, well, and they needed a shooter. That rookie, they just left him wide open intentionally. Yeah. You know, CJ said we wanted that guy shooting threes. There was a reason he was left open, and boy, you saw why.
That happens at Rop at the Y. And they let the old man out there.
And I make him pay, bitch.
Let him bomb away.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week.